Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning empowerment with me, Elder Jordan, Elder Pam. Hope you're having a wonderful, blessed morning. Make your way on in, make your way on in. We're going to go ahead and invite everybody on in and make sure they find their way in here. So just make your way on in as we get started on this wonderful empowerment session for today. I hope you guys are having a blessed, wonderful day. I know many of you are probably on your travels, on your way to your morning worship. But those of you who can't make it out this morning, come on in and join me for our Sunday morning empowerment. Word of encouragement. Hopefully it is a blessing to each and every one of you. Make your way on in. All right. We're just going to let some folks know where we're at and what we're doing and get you guys all set up. I hope your weekend has gone great. I hope you've been blessed and so much more. All right. Make your way on in. And I thank each and every one of you that is watching, and hope you guys will be blessed on this wonderful day as we get started. And those of you, if this is your first time with us, thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the time out to sit and talk with us and join us on this good morning word of empowerment. Those of you who have come before and been following me for a while, thank you for staying in there with me. And thank you for just allowing God to use you to come on in and sup with us, sit with us, and be a blessing. All right. We're going to go ahead and get started. And as people come in, just tell them hello, good morning, and so forth. We're going to open up with the word of prayer this morning and so forth. So you guys, we're going to... and get started. Alrighty. Father, Lord, we thank you for each and every one that's making their way online to join us for the Sunday morning empowerment, a word we hope that will be a blessing to them on this morning. Those who are not able to attend, let them hear it in replay. Let there be something said that will increase a newness in their life, that will open up a word of revelation and knowledge. Father, Lord, we ask you to keep those who are traveling, give them traveling mercies. Keep them safe and covered with your precious blood. Lord, as we go into your word on today, Lord, we ask you to send your anointing from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. We only can do what you ask of us to do. Father, Lord, we ask you to touch those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that are not able to make it to the local assembly, Lord Jesus, that you touch them in an unusual way, that you seal a healing anointing throughout the land. Father, Lord, we know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we have asked. We come to bless your name. We come to lift you up. We come to magnify you, Lord Jesus, as you open up your word to us to give us knowledge and understanding and wisdom of what you desire and design for us to do. Those that are going to their local assembly, that they go and rejoice and have a wonderful time in the Lord and be a blessing to someone on today. Lord, we thank you for the word that's going across. We thank you for every leader, every lay member, every person, everyone that's out there that's seeking to seek and find you. God, we ask you to touch them in an unusual way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning. Good morning. Come on in. Come on in. We're going to get started on this morning. This month's series, guys, we're going to be talking about relationships. Now, those of you who have missed our yesterday's Women United, I'm sorry you missed an awesome. You can catch the replay on Facebook. But it was awesome. We hit on so many different areas, and I was being just in my seat because this is what one of the topics was, new relationships, and that's what God had given me for the month of February that's coming in, and talking about the importance of godly relationships and how they are very, very, very important. So if you guys can hear me loud and clear, let me know that you can hear me loud and clear. Let me, I don't want to, you know, Facebook be funny about music. But they be all right. All right, so we're coming on in. We're talking about the importance of godly relationships, okay? And this month, we're going to break down. So each Sunday we come on, we're going to be talking about different types of relationships. But today, we're kind of opening up the box. We're kind of taking the bow off the box. So when we open the box and we find what's in it, we're going to be talking about covering different aspects of relationships. And we're talking not just relationships. We're talking about the importance of having godly relationships. And we're not just talking about relationships of dating, because a lot of times when we hear relationships, we only think of dating and marriage. But there are abundance of different type of relationships, as we learned yesterday. So we're talking about different types of relationships. So we're going to open up in one of my favorite books. I am a favorite Genesis person. I go back to Genesis. I always say God would take you back to the beginning when you get confused of what's going on. And he would take you back to the beginning and start us at the beginning so we can fully understand the word of God. So we're going into the book of Genesis, and we're going into the second chapter, and we're starting at the 18th verse, and I'm coming with you from the NIV version, all right? So I'm going to give you a minute to get it, Genesis 2 and 18. Just going back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis 2 and 18, because everything started there. The beginning of what we're doing now and who we are started in that book. And so if you ever get confused or trying to figure out what's going on in the world, you can go back to the beginning. Sometimes you got to go back to the beginning. We talked about yesterday chapters. Don't be going in the end and middle of the chapter. Sometimes you got to go back to the beginning of the book, in the beginning of the chapter, to get what God has for you. And a lot of times he'll take us back to Genesis. So we're in Genesis, the second chapter. And we're going to have several different verses coming up. At that time, so make sure you guys write them down, get your pen, your paper, and your notebook, because I don't want you to miss what is coming forth, okay? So, we're in Genesis, the second chapter, verses 18, and it says, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him," okay? So, the Lord a helper suitable for him. Now I can take that and I can run with that in so many areas, especially when it comes to relationships. My lighting is trying to die here, guys. Hold on. Okay. Sometimes these devices get to do their own thing. So the Lord said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." That tells us right there that's one of my favorite scriptures to talk about. But I'm taking it. He's giving me a different direction. We're going a different direction today because I can really talk about that in relationships. But he's saying it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God never intended us to be alone. He never intended us to be isolated, y'all. The scripture tells us it is not meant for man to be alone. All of this stuff that we got going on in this world, all of what people are saying and this and this and that, it is not, God's intention was not for us to be alone. His intentions were us to be together, to have relationships, to communicate. Men and women and friendships, sisterhood, brotherhoods, relationship. This is what we're talking about. Godly relationships. It was not meant for you to be alone, okay? God never intended for men or us to live alone, isolated, separated from one another, and from the way the foundations of the world were created. God intended for his creation to be connected to him and to each other. Okay? Think about it. I mean, even from the animals, they had two of each. They weren't meant to be alone. We always look at it as procreation or looking at it as fertilizing and all that stuff, but it's not just that. He even did the animals, male and female. It was not meant for them to be alone. It was not meant for men to be alone. So he did not intend us to be alone. He did not intend us to isolate ourselves, okay? And we're going to talk about godly relationships. And the first thing I want to talk about is separation. Write that on your paper, separation. Because I need you to understand, and I need you guys to hear me, and I need you to really begin to dig deep in the scriptures and deep in your heart, because as you go through the Bible, through the word of God, nobody walked alone. Jesus had 12 disciples. He didn't even walk alone. He built relationships with the 12, and the 12 built relationships within each other. But there was someone always were around him at all times. So he went to the garden to pray, but they even took people there with him to go to the garden. Even on the cross, he wasn't alone. He had two thieves on the side of him on the cross, and he still wasn't alone. The Father didn't even leave him. He was never alone. So why do we sit here and think that we are supposed to be isolated, that we are supposed to be alone, that we are supposed to not have godly relationships and friendships and all this hoopla that the world has given us? That is not scripture. Now, this is for the believers. The world can do what the world want to do, but for those of us who are walking in the Word, who are believing in the Word, who are calling ourselves believers, we are going by what the scripture, what the Bible says. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible talks about fellowship. Jesus went to a wedding feast. A wedding feast is what? It's fellowship. It's getting around. He didn't have to go. He could have said, oh no, I don't need to go. I'm bougie. I'm Jesus. I don't need to hang out with all you at the wedding feast. That's who I am. But he even fellowship. It was around people. So he's letting us know it's important. So the first thing is separate. Separate. Write down separate. As many of us know, since the pandemic, the world has been in a separation more than ever. It's like the pandemic just it was a boom. It was a boom of seeing people who really believed and trust in God, and seeing people who was just faking it till they making it. Seeing people that just didn't really care about God, but they just didn't want to go to hell, so they just came to church anyway because they were scared they was going to hell, and they just kept on sinning. We had everything going on when the pandemic hit. It began to prove and show you who is who in the kingdom of God. And so when the pandemic, the world had been separated. Men and women separated themselves. The church separated itself. People wasn't communicating with people anymore. People wasn't loving on people anymore. People were scared to shake people's hands. This is how the enemy puts fear into the land. And we as a church, we fed into it. We as a body of Christ, we allow him to come in and put this disease, this virus, into the world. When we were talking about Christ and he is this and God is this and he is a way maker, and we are the believers and we are the true saints and we are the anointed ones, we are the holy ones, we are the five baptized ones for Jesus all our lives, sanctified, filled, Holy Ghost filled. We were doing all that. But when that pandemic hit, it brought a separation. It brought a separation where you got churches against churches, pastors against pastors. One pastor's tearing down another pastor. One pastor talk about another pastor because another pastor got a bigger church and his church is small, and they were just going back on each other. And God knows social media was the biggest person that got it all started. It was another word I wanted to say. It wouldn't come out. But social media pushed it. Where now pastors were using social media to tear down other pastors. Or if they wasn't tearing down other pastors, the world was tearing down a leader, and you in the church was falling for what the world was saying about this leader. And now realizing God gonna get you. You're the church. We're supposed to lift each other up. We're supposed to encourage each other. Why are we feeding into what the world is saying about a man or woman of God who is serving God, and you saw them serving God, and they've been serving God, and they've been preaching the word for 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and now all of a sudden, pandemic hit, and all this stuff comes up, oh, this preacher was lying, this preacher did that, and all of a sudden, the church began to separate itself from each other. That is what division does. That is the enemy's job. It's to come and conquer and divide. A church that is divided, a house that is divided, cannot stand. And it's not just talking about your local assembly being divided. It's talking about the whole kingdom of God being divided. We are divided. And this is why we can't fight back. We're not fighting because the division is so strong. God is saying, where is my people? Where is my church? Where is my love? Why did you let the world come and separate you from each other? And we got to be truthful and honest with it, y'all. We got to be transparent. We got to look in the mirror and we got to sit there and say, you know what, Lord, you're right. We allow the enemy to come and divide us. We allow the enemy to let us see another church close its doors instead of them going over there, tapping that church out, or going over there, telling that pastor, hey, bring your people over here until y'all can get yourself back on your track. And not do it to be big-headed. And not do it to say, well, this is my church. And just because you're a pastor, you can't preach in my church. But y'all come on. It ain't all about that. It ain't about numbers. It ain't about that. God ain't looking at all that. He's looking at how the love is. He's looking at what we're doing. But we allowed ourselves to separate. We allow ourselves to see churches close up. And then we talk about them while they close up. But not realizing their members got to go somewhere. And instead of you lifting up that pastor and encouraging him, you tore him down and you separated yourself from them. Why? Or we talk about the pastors that committed suicide because they couldn't take it. We talk about the pastors that dropped everything because they couldn't do it. And he'll be told you behind the scenes, you can't do it neither. But we allow the separation, God says, to happen in the body of Christ. So we separated from each other. The church is separated. And it has become dangerous. It's dangerous, y'all. This is why we're living in a dangerous time. This is why so many things that happened. There was a time when the churches got together and prayed and lift each other up, encourage each other. And you could feel the anointing, the Spirit of God moving. There were a time where you can walk in the old churches and you can feel the Spirit of God moving. Now you got the spirits moving. It ain't God. But we have this, the separation has to stop. In order to have godly relationships, we can't be separated from each other. We need each other more and more and more than ever. We need each other more and more in this year 2024 and beyond that's coming. We need each other. We cannot afford to separate anymore. Body of Christ, we cannot afford to separate each other anymore. I don't care what denomination you are. I don't care. We all believe in the same Jesus Christ. And we all believe that we're going to heaven. And we all believe there's a hell. And we all believe that you can be sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. But we all believe the same gospel. We all reading the same 66 books. We got to come back together because the kingdom of God can't get built if we're separated. You over here trying to build with bricks. You over here trying to build with sticks. You over here trying to build with hay. There's so much separation that don't make no sense. God don't work like that. The kingdom of God is not getting built. It's falling apart because of the separation. Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8. I'm going to flip to Romans 8. I'm going to get you, find your Romans 8. I hope y'all getting something out of this. I hope y'all enjoying this because we got to build our godly relationships. We're going to start this year because it's more to, we the church, and this is for the church. When we read the word of God, we got to understand the word of God was written for the saints and believers of God. It wasn't written for the world. So they don't understand. It's our job to get them to understand. But when he's writing in the word of God, it's for us. It's for the believers. It's for those who accepted Christ. This word is for you. That's why his harmony cuts low and cuts deep. Because it's for us. So Romans 8, we're going down to the 38 and the 39th verse, y'all. 38 and 39. Okay, and it reads, I'm reading for the NIV version. I'm sorry, my head all in the way. I got to look down at my word, y'all, okay? It says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of y'all have quoted that scripture before? How many of y'all have read that scripture before? Now, if you read that scripture again and you plug in what is happening in the day in the world, we messed up. Because we sat here and read that scripture, we say nothing. For I am convinced that neither death nor life will separate me from God. Neither angels nor demons will separate me from God. We sit here and quote, neither the present nor the future will separate me from God. Nor any powers, nor any heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus. So why has the church allowed itself to be separate? We quote that, and God began to deal with me that as I was doing this lesson, he began to speak. He was like, why is the church separate? Why y'all separate from each other? Yeah, y'all love me. Yeah, y'all love me. Y'all praise me. Y'all worship me. Y'all tithe and offering. Y'all do all this stuff for me. I am so thankful. But you don't love each other, the brother that you see every single day. You have separated yourself from each other, from the body of Christ. We don't have services just to have services, just to get together and fellowship. We have services. We have revivals to raise money. We have convocations to raise money. We have all these programs to raise money to do all this. But we don't have things to just say, you know what? Let's just fellowship with every church in the community. Let's just have a big shell of fellowship and talk to each other, see each other, love on each other, share our testimony, share our gratitude, affirm each other, share what God has done in the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. We don't do that. So God is saying, you know, y'all do all the good stuff, yeah. But why has the church allowed itself to be separate? That goes into the book of Revelation where you started talking about all the churches. Which church are you? We don't want to read that. But there are several churches, and then you start to read that thing, you start to dissect that thing, you be like, oh, wow, am I one of them churches? He didn't say you didn't love him. He didn't say all that. He's just saying we ain't loving each other. So why has the church allowed itself to separate? We have allowed the world's laws and the world's voice to separate the body of Christ. We allowed what the world is dictating and telling us, this is what it's supposed to be. That is what it's supposed to be. Y'all shouldn't be doing that. Y'all shouldn't have to go here. We allow the church, the world, and their laws to dictate to the church. When it used to be the church was dictating to the world and the laws. We're not standing on the word of God like we're supposed to stand on the word of God. Because we become separate. How can we stand if we're separate? Okay? So we're talking about godly relationships. We can't have a godly relationship if we are not in relationship with each other. If church down the street is not in relationship to the same church that's on the corner, you got one church, one corner, one church, another corner, they don't even talk to each other. But they in the same community, trying to reach the same people. But we don't even talk to each other. We don't even communicate with each other. Some people are scared to talk to one member of one church because the pastor's got beef. The pastor's got stuff going on. So they're not talking to each other. So the members don't talk to each other because the members scared to talk to each other because the pastors got beef or something that happened probably 30, 40 years ago that they didn't forgot about, that they didn't sat there and say God did deliver him from. But if God delivered him from, if God delivered you from, you'll be talking to that pastor. God didn't deliver you yet. You still walking in yourself. Because if you was going towards the word and doing what God called you, told you to do, you will forgive. Because forgiveness is very important in this walk. So how you going to have beef with this pastor down here and you got beef with this pastor down here and y'all have forgot what you're beefing about, but when you see each other in the Walmart, you don't even talk to each other. Or when you do talk to each other, it's fake and phony. It's hey. No. What is that? That's separation. Who's going to be the bigger person that says, you know what? God told us to love and forgive each other no matter what. In spite of our differences, I'm still supposed to love on you, bro. What you got going on in your church? I'm coming to support you. Then you ain't even got to ask. We coming anyway. We not doing nothing. I'm going to bring my whole church. We coming to support y'all building fund. Because we're in this thing together, building up the kingdom of God. But we don't do that. So he said, you know, We can't have God relations if we are not in relationship with each other. The body of Christ has allowed gossip, jealousy, envy, hatred to separate us from God, to separate us so we won't have a relationship with each other. Jealousy of another saint. We gossip by another saint, another believer. And it's sometimes right in your own church. How can we have godly relationships when we're doing what the world is doing? And the world is telling us, y'all gossip too much. Y'all need to stop it. We don't come to church. Y'all gossip, backbiting, y'all this and that. In the body of Christ. Yes, the body of Christ is a hospital. Yes, I'm a firm believer. People come in to get delivered, just like you go to the hospital to get healed, delivered. But if we don't have godly relationships, and when they come in and they don't see our godly relations, and I'm not saying you got to be all over somebody and all. No, it's people seeing the God, the love, a relationship that we have as saints of God, loving on each other, showing who God really is, building that relationship. The very thing God wants to deliver us from is the very thing that's keeping us separated. You guys, there are some things that God is trying to deliver some of you from, and that thing is what is keeping you separated from having godly relationships. That very thing that is getting you to that place where, you know, I don't want to be around people. I'm so glad that it can happen and COVID can happen, because I don't like being around people. I want to be to myself, and I'm good by myself. That kind of stuff. God, y'all don't work in God's kingdom. God was about people. You think about how many times he could have said that. I don't want to be around people. I'm not going to go to this city because the crowd of people are going to be around me and flogging me. And I just don't want to be around people. You know, y'all go and do it and bless the people. But I'm Jesus, and I don't feel like doing this today. I don't like people. I don't want to be touched. Why is this woman touching me at the hem of my garment? What if he was like that? We'd be in trouble. We would be in trouble because some of us are like that. We will be in trouble. So many who are not introverts by nature, who were born that way, have more, you know, are able to do that. Because we have people, there are people out here that are considered as introverts. Do you have people that are literally introverts born that way? But there's a difference between those who are born that way or have those traits than people who are just saying that because they don't want to be bothered with folks. Let's just be real. You just don't want to be bothered with folks. You want the world to surround around you. You want everything to be around you. You want the world to be about you, but God don't work like that. It will never be about you because it's always about Jesus. And that's what you have to remember. But you do have some people that are born that way and that have it. But the difference between those are, and I've looked up the definition of introvert. It says a shy person. A person with qualities of a personality type known as introversion, which means that they feel more comfortable focusing on their inner thoughts and ideas rather than what's happening externally. Okay? They enjoy spending time with just one or two people rather than a large crowd or group of people. Now, that's a difference than you, because you just don't want to be Bible folks because you all about yourself. And you just, you know, want the accolades, and you've been hurt because not been hurt by people, disappointed by people. So you got this wall up. So you don't want to have nothing. You know, I'm good. That same, you say, oh, I'm good by myself. I can do things by myself. I'm good. I don't need no man. I don't need nobody. I can do this thing by myself. I like my peace and quiet world. I like this and that and that. You got to be careful with that, because we wasn't created to be that way. We was created to worship and socialize and talk and gather. But that definition of introvert says they don't mind being around one or two people. Those of you who out there are faking it, you don't want to be around nobody. See, that's the difference. That's how you are faking it between those who are really have those introvert, I won't say issues, but they're dealing with that as something true. They'll still be around people, but they just don't want to be around the big crowd of people. They don't mind being around the one or two people, okay? There are some of you out here that has separated yourself from everybody because you are all about yourself. And if you're not the spotlight or you're not the person that's getting all the attention, you don't want nobody around you. That's dangerous. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Because you are now living in a me, myself, and I world. It's all about me, myself, and I, and God don't work like that. God was not about me, myself, and God. God was about everybody, healing people, people, strangers, people he didn't know. He was about helping people. He wasn't about me, myself, and I, or only those people who gave him praise. No, he didn't. He wasn't about that. So you got to be careful when you're talking about that, that you know, I like to be by myself. I'm doing me this year. You know, it's all about me. It's all about me. And, you know, I don't want to be, but you got to be careful. Because I'm going to be honest, it's not about you. It would never be about you. Because God will shut all that down because it's always about God. It's always about what he wants. He'll allow you to sit in that little world of yours for a little bit. But then there's going to be a time he's going to pull you up out of that world and let you realize there's more out here. I didn't bless you with the things that you got for you to be all about yourself. I bless you and gave you the things that you got to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, if you continue to want everything and keep everything for yourself, like the rich man when they asked him, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? And God, they told him, you got to give up everything. He was like, no, I ain't giving up my stuff. I worked too hard for this. I just gone and take that L. God don't work like that. He going to come to you and tell you, what are you going to give up? If you want to walk this walk and be in the kingdom, what are you willing to give up? So you can't be about a me, myself, and I. And that me, myself, and I has separated many a people from godly relationships. It's separated you from a lot of godly things. So you got to ask yourself the question, what is separating you from having godly relationships? What is separating you from having godly relationships? Is it yourself? Your attitude? Is it hurt, pain, bitterness? Because God can move and work on those things. But you got to know that those are your problems. Second thing, number two, about building godly relationships. Safety in numbers. Safety in numbers. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. I got to move my paper, y'all. And I'm going to be go to Ecclesiastes. It's the fourth chapter in the 12th verse. I'm going to be reading from the NLT version because when I read that, I was like, oh, wow, Lord, that was just on point. Okay? It was just on point. All right. Ecclesiastes 4 and 12. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braid cord is not easily broken. Come on now, y'all. When I read that, I said, oh, I love that version right there, that NLT, because it just hits right at home. It hits right at home. It's telling you, you know, you can stand alone and you can be attacked and you make him defeat. But man, when you get two and three together, ain't no coming through that. And that's what I'm saying, safety in numbers. Building God relationship is safety in numbers. Yes, you a one man band, and you can pray heaven down and you can do all, but man, it's more. We can chase more when both of us and two of us get together and walk in this thing. When three of us get together, we're more powerful. Because when you're by yourself in one, you get burned out quickly. You get tore down quickly. You get bruised up quickly because you're the only one that's taking all the hits. And sooner or later, you're about to fall. But when you have someone in there to help you and you got a partner in there to help you or brother and sister in Christ that's in to help you, that strong core cannot be broken. It won't be broken because y'all are stronger in numbers. So there's safety in numbers. If Satan tries to attack a believer in friendship or fellowship together, we're able to resist it when it's two and three of us together. So when you're dealing with some things and temptations that you're dealing with in your life and God is working on your deliverance in these areas and you got a brother or sister of Christ that you can call and that you can lean on, pray with, and help you get through when those temptations come, because they're going to come. They're going to come. Let's be honest. They're going to come. They're designed to trip you up. They're designed to make you fall. They're designed for you to come back to serve the devil. So he's going to try everything he can. But there's safety in numbers. When we get together and when one is about to fall and we see them about to fall, we go and lift their hands up. We go and read a word to them. We go give them a word of encouragement. We go and fight the battle for them. We all standing back to back each behind with each other. Our backs up together where we can fight the enemy as he tries to surround that one loved one, that one friend, that one person. We are safety in numbers. We can be strong in numbers. This is how you build godly relationships. It's by numbers. It's building each other up. It's being with friends and getting that relationship going. It's not about being by yourself. That's why it's important to have godly relationships. Because there's going to be a time where you're going to need to call on someone where you can't get a prayer through. And when you have godly relationships, you can call on them and they can pray you through. Or they can be honest with you when you just screwing up and you know you're screwing up and you don't want to admit that you're screwing up. And they're going to be honest with you. That's godly relationship. That's why it's so important to have godly relationships. Because the world is going to give you the world's answer. I've been there, done that. The world is going to give you the world answer. But when you build godly relationships and godly friendships, they're going to give you God's answer from the word of God. They're going to speak the word of God. True godly friends are going to come to you with scripture and with the word of God. People that are half stepping in the world and in church, they're going to come through with you with the world's definition of what to do. So which one do you want? So there's safety in numbers. It's safety in numbers. We live in a world where it has us thinking that number one, I'm number one, it's good. It's all about me, it's good. And we said it before, that me, myself, and I thing, y'all, it's going to get you in trouble. It's going to get you in trouble. Because it's not about that. It's not about, you know, you. We're bigger and better in numbers. We can fight more in numbers. Okay? When we have those important godly relationships, when you're going through hard times, when you're struggling, there is a godly friend there to read a word of encouragement, to come and pray with you, to go in prayer for you. They come and check on you. They come and see you. You know, they don't just show up and don't see you. They come and make sure you are okay. That's why it's important to have godly friends. They're not going to tell you something that, oh, yeah, I will do this. I should know. They will go and say, well, you know what? The Lord said do this. Or this is what the Bible says. Do this. It's important. Next one is strength. Strength. The importance of godly relationships is because strength. The body of Christ has become stronger when we have godly relationships with each other. When one ministry is praying for another ministry and fellowship with another ministry, that's building godly relationships. We become strong. We become strong in the kingdom. And then the kingdom of God becomes stronger. And we can fight this fight. Because when we build strength when we come together. So when we stand together, we become stronger when we come together and support one another. And fulfilling the purpose and doing so, we receive support. So we're strengthening someone else. We're supporting them. We're lifting them up. Remember, it's not all about us. It's about building the kingdom of God. Because in reality, if we don't build the kingdom of God, we all fall and fail. It says it's a very thin line for those who are going to make it in. Okay? So don't give no more excuses why you can't make it in. So when we put our heads and our resources together, we become strong as believers. One man show is who God is, shows what God is. Okay? So a one man show is not what God is all about. When we become together and put our heads together, put our resources together, this is how we build the kingdom of God. You got resources over here to help this ministry over here or to help build homeless or help to build people businesses, and then you don't want to use them. You're being selfish. God didn't give you those resources to hold on to. He gave you those resources to help build the kingdom of God. So if those resources are for you to go out here and help other ministries grow and build and help people have businesses and help people and teach them about the word of God, then that's what you are called to do. You need to be doing, because it's not yours to hold. And when we come together, we're stronger. We have our own community of businesses, entrepreneurs, and grocery stores, and barbershops, and nail salons, and our banks, and credit unions, and we'll have our own where the believers can come to, because what we do, we put our heads and resources together to build the kingdom of God. And we become what? Stronger when we do that. We become stronger, because can't nobody tear it down. Okay? So we have to be careful of that. And even in doing that control, and as I was doing this, the Lord began to drop this, the word control. And I'm thinking, okay, what does control have to do with what we're talking about, Lord? But he said control. Control, the spirit of control is not good. Many people choose to isolate themselves from relationships because they want to be in control. I said, oh my God, okay. Lord said, because you have people out here that want to be in control. And because they can't, don't go their way. It won't happen the way they want it to happen. They can't control it. They isolate themselves. They separate themselves from everybody because they want to be in control. God says, that's not so. That's the spirit of witchcraft. You don't control anything. You got to learn how to work together with people and lift each other up. But we have people out here that want to control the whole situation and doesn't go their way. They isolate themselves. And they sit there and make all these excuses why they don't want to be around people. Because you want to be in control and you can't. Because God is in control. So that is something important to understand and realize that, you know, God does not control us first. In fact, he gives us free will to make choices. So why do we want to control another human being? God is not about that. He gives us free will to choose. So why are you trying to control the situation? You trying to control makes it weaker. Because if you work together, put your heads together, resources together, and we work this thing together, it makes it stronger. And makes it stronger. So Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Let's hit that. We got almost finished, y'all. We almost finished. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and we're at verses 19, and that talks about choices, okay? It says, This day I call heaven and earth witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord. Choose life, y'all. Make the choice to choose life. God is giving you a choice. You know, he's giving you a choice to work together. He's giving us choices to build the kingdom together. He wants us to work more better to separate it than do divide it. But it's a choice. He's not going to make you do nothing. He doesn't make us do nothing. He gives us our own free will. So if God tells us to be self-controlled and patient, never does God tell us to enslave another person to our will. So those of you who have got that spirit of control, you need to talk to God. What does control and strong and strength have to do with godly relationship? You can't control who God wants you to be and who wants to be in your life, who wants to be in your life. You can't control that. And that person may be the one that's going to come in your life to teach you about godly relationships and how important it is. And because they don't look the way you want them to look, or they don't act the way you want them to act, you don't want them in your life. But God is saying, I'm sending them to you because they're going to show you the importance of godly relationships. Because you've been living in a world of me, myself, and I for so long, and it's all about you. And God is saying, it's not about you, it's about me. And it's important to have godly relationships. We're not just talking about dating relationships, we're talking about relationships all around. We need to have godly relationships in business, godly relationship in our finances, godly relationships in church, godly relationships in the marketplace. You need to have godly relationships because it's more than just knowing people that are saved. It's building a relationship. It's different. I know you, you know, we say we go to church together, but we don't have that godly relationship. It's got to go deeper than that, y'all. Deeper than that, okay? So, are you so in control that you won't allow God to build new relationships in your life? Is that you? Are you so in control that you won't allow God to build new godly relationships in your life? I'm sorry, yeah. And there's a poll that we launched that's going to come up. I don't know if it's going to come up on the screen or not, but if you see it, answer the question, see what it says, and, you know, answer it, and we'll talk about it, okay? We're almost finished. So our last thing we're going to talk about, and for those who are coming in, thank you for coming in, Teresa, Patty, those who I can't see right now, but thank you guys for coming in and joining. All right, we're talking about the importance of godly relationships, and it's so important that we begin to build godly relationships, okay? So we're closing out. We're at our end. We're almost at our end. The last one is support. The importance, the benefits of having, and the importance of having godly relationships is support. Because we need the support system. Support is very, very, very important. When we connect to believers, we receive benefits of support. Support is prayer and so much more. We need support. Okay? We need support. I'm sorry. And it is so important that you build those relationships because you need support. Okay? You when you're going through, guys, and this walk is not easy. I'm not here to tell anybody. It is not easy. There are going to be some easy good days and there are going to be some bad days. As the song says, but I won't complain. God will be there between the good and the bad. And he will walk you through each one. Okay? But we need support from each other also. We need the support to encourage each other. When you see someone falling, you will see someone that's leaning over, need a little help, support them. Encourage them. Keep their hands up. Walk with them. Support with them. Pray with them. It's important. You know, there's kingdom walk. You have a support system when you are going through and you need that. That should help you grow. And a support system that you learn from. A support system that you grow together from. You know, we all have the peaks and the valleys of life. And there are times when you just don't know if you're going to make it through or fall off the peak or you're going to make it through the valley. But when you got a support system, and when you got people that you can call on at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, when you're going through, when the enemy's been fighting you, you don't know where your next meal is going to be. You know, you have that support system that's going to encourage you, that's going to lift you up, that's going to tell you it's going to be all right. We got your back. We are here because we built godly relationships. What do you need? Come to my house. My house will be your grocery store. You get whatever you need out of my house so that God can bless you in your house. That's a good support system. Because to build godly relationships, you got to have a support system. We got to be able to lift each other up when we're going through, not tear each other down, not allow the world to tear us down, not allow the world to separate us. Not allow the world to divide us, but we are here to support each other. If you see one ministry falling apart, go and support them, help them up, find out what you can do. Don't talk about them, don't post about them, don't do any of that, because that is what the enemy wants us to do. You're putting people on blast, but really you're putting yourself on blast, because you're the one that's posting the stuff and it looks bad because you're listening to it and you're posting it. Well, we walk around talking about praying, give it to God, but we don't pray to give it to God when we get to gossip and all this stuff. But people need a support system. Support someone when they're going through, especially when you know that they're going through. especially when you know that they need some help. Support them. If you don't have the finances to support them, you support them in many other ways. It is time support. If you got some food in your house that you can give someone, support. Words of encouragement, support. Even Jesus had a support system. He had 12 disciples. That was his support system. They supported. They were there. He had Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They were friends. He had friends. Those of you out there, like, I don't need nobody. I don't need no friends. I'm all by myself. I'm doing me. It's all about self-care. It's all about me. God don't work like that. God told them, let me wash your feet. They was like, no, we need to wash your feet. He said, no, let me wash your feet. It wasn't about him. Come on. It was about building godly relationships. All throughout the Bible, it shows you relationship. It shows you it was that times when he could have left and moved on, but he didn't. It was all about building godly relationship. God is a prime example of what important it is to have godly relationships. And in that godly relationship is that support system, supporting one another. We have allowed the world to come in and bring division and separation in the body of Christ. We're scared to talk to each other. We're scared to share testimonies now. We're scared to tell people what we're going through because we don't want people to look at us all funny. Well, the world looking at you funny and talking about you too. And they can't do nothing to help you. And they won't help you. But we're scared to say anything to anybody. We tell the church gossip, the church did this, the church did that, because we have not built godly relationships. God will show you that person to build that godly relationship with that you can trust. But it is important. It is important to have godly relationships. And as we get ready to close out, and I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you guys for coming on. You can catch this on our Facebook page. It will be posted probably on our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel, She Shores. You can check that out too. We have a lot of other posts over there. I'm sorry, this paper just ran. And so much more, but we're going to close out. Building God relationships is so important. When the world does not cheer you on when you're going through, but, you know, on this spiritual journey. But when you build godly relationships, you know, you have those cheerleaders that are there, to build you on. And good godly relationships. You know, there is a season, I believe, where he may shift your relationships as you grow in him. He may send you to other people, to new relationships, which is important to build new relationships. Some of you want to hang on the old relationship, them old friends, them friends you known since you were high school, and friends that you grew up over there in the neighborhood, and all that stuff. But God is saying it's time to build some new relationships, some new godly relationships. And it's so important to do so. Philippians 4:13 says, our favorite scriptures, I can do all things through Christ with strength in me. When we allow God to guide us, to direct us, he will give us and show us godly relationships and show you who to have one with, who to allow in. But don't sit around here thinking that it's okay to be alone. It's okay to be by myself. It's okay to do me. No, because God didn't create us that way from the beginning. He said, man, it's not good for man to be alone. So if he said that in the word, why y'all think it's okay for y'all to be out here all the time by yourself, in a house by yourself? Ain't nobody in the house but you and 500 guns looking crazy. That ain't good. Because the enemy will begin to talk to you. He did that with Eve. He got Eve isolated and he began to talk to her. He didn't talk to Eve when Adam was around. He waited until she got by herself and isolated, and he began to talk. And that is what's happening to many of the members of the body of Christ. You allow the enemy to get you separate from the body of Christ, and now he's talking to you. And that is going to be your fall. Because he is talking to you. Because he's got you by yourself. Because you have no one to help fight for you and with you. You have no one to discern that, you know what, girl, that's the enemy over there. You don't need to be talking to him. Come on here. There was no one there to pull Eve away. She didn't have no sister girlfriend to come over there and say, girl, what you doing talking to him? Girl, come on here. We got stuff to do. No, she didn't. But being her isolated self allowed the enemy to talk and feed and say things that was not true. And if someone out there, you have isolated yourself, you have used all the excuses in the world because you feel folks are talking about you, you feel folks don't like you, you feel folks are treating you wrong, you just want to do your own thing and you just don't want to be bothered with people because, you know, you've been hurt. You got to get delivered from the hurt because God doesn't want you to walk down that road. But that's a very lonely and dangerous highway that you don't want to go down. So you got to begin to, you know, this walk with God and serving God is a people walk. I tell people all the time, it's about people. Because God was about people. Even when he tried to go away and get some rest, it still was about people. He woke up to help the people. He got on the boat and was like, I got to get away. And still was teaching people from the boat. This walk with Christ is about people. If you do not love people, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. So I want you to thank each and every one of you for joining us. And just think about, who are you in relationship with? Who are you in relationship with? Go down your list of who are you in relationship with. And are these in godly relationships? Are these godly relationships? Or are these just people you've been in relationship since you was 16 years old? And they're not godly. But check it out and find out if these are godly relationships. So I thank each and every one of you for stopping by, joining us this morning. I hope you guys enjoyed this Sunday morning empowerment. We come on every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. and hoping to encourage each and every one of you to open up your word and live by the word, love the word, and just enjoy the word with each other on this day. All right? So if you don't have any comments and questions, I thank you all for coming on. And if you're catching this in replay, just let me know you're catching the replay. And I love you all. And you guys have a wonderful and blessed Sunday. Bye-bye.